It's story time.
Discovering lost cities. When you hear this sound, please turn the page. Chapter 1. What is a lost city? Spin a globe and let your finger stop on nearly any continent. Your finger will probably be near a lost city. A lost city is a place that once was prosperous. Then, for some reason, the city lost its importance. Eventually, it was abandoned and possibly completely forgotten. After some time, some lost cities are discovered, and word spreads about their many wonders. Gather a team of archaeologists and travel back in time to visit some famous lost cities. Mesa Verde, Machu Picchu, Angkor, and Petra. Imagine the treasures that await you. You'll visit a tall, grassy mesa in the United States and a mountaintop in Peru. Then, you'll visit forests and farmland in Cambodia and red cliffs in Jordan. Chapter 2. Marvelous Mesa Verde. Your first stop in your tour of lost cities is Mesa Verde, which is located in the southwestern part of Colorado in the United States. Mesa Verde means green table in Spanish. A mesa is a hill with a flat top and steep sides. Mesa Verde was the home of the Pueblo people for about 700 years. They inhabited the area from about 550 CE to 1300 CE. The Pueblos first lived in caves. Then they made houses by digging holes in the ground. They covered the holes with logs and mud. These people were farmers who raised corn and beans. They were also talented basket makers. Later, they became expert pottery makers. Some of their black and white pottery has survived the years. Eventually, in the 8th century or so, the Pueblo people moved to the top of the mesa. They built houses out of poles and logs. Some houses had up to 50 rooms. The people lived on top of the mesa for about 600 years. Eventually, they moved into the cliffs and canyons on the sides of the mesa. Possibly, they moved there to protect themselves from enemies. They built homes and apartments in the cliffs, some as tall as 4 stories. The cliff palace had between 150 and 200 rooms. As many as 5,000 people may have lived at Mesa Verde. Unfortunately, within a few years, no one was left. Archaeologists think that people left because years and years of drought forced them out. Eventually, they couldn't grow enough crops to feed everyone. No one knew about Mesa Verde for hundreds of years. In the mid to late 19th century, some cowboys began to explore the ruins. They weren't trained archaeologists, but they realized the importance of Mesa Verde. They collected artifacts. They wanted the United States to make Mesa Verde a national park. Mesa Verde became a national park in 1906. Other national parks were made to protect those natural places. Mesa Verde was the first park in the United States created to preserve the works of man. If you visit Mesa Verde, you can see some of its 600 cliff dwellings. You can even follow in the footsteps of the Pueblos. You can imagine their lives as you scramble up and down the ladders that lead from place to place. Chapter 3. Mysterious Machu Picchu. From Cusco, Peru, head toward the high mountains of Peru to a height of 2,430 meters. Balanced on a ridge in the eastern Andes Mountains is Machu Picchu. It is one of the world's most mysterious lost cities. Dramatic Machu Picchu contains astonishing structures, palaces, temples, and homes. It was built in approximately 1450 CE. Then it was abandoned about a century later. It may have been built for the enjoyment of an Incan ruler named Pachacutec. Other theories hold that it was built for military purposes or for special religious ceremonies. It might have been a getaway for city dwellers who lived far down the mountain. The Incas did not have a written language, so we do not know for sure what its purpose was. Machu Picchu is mystical. One of its sites is a carved rock called the Hitching Post of the Sun. This was probably some sort of sundial or calendar that provided information about stars and space. Some people still believe that sacred rock, a sculpture in the shape of a mountain, still has mysterious power. Local people say it brings energy to anyone who touches it. The Incas built Machu Picchu to last. Even hundreds of years later, the structures are still solid and strong. The Incas built the stone structures without using mortar between the stones. Yet, the stones still fit together so tightly that the blade of a knife cannot fit between them. Narrow pathways, surrounded by terraces, run between the structures. The builders cut more than 700 of these terraces into the mountainside. The Incas probably farmed on these terraces. Machu Picchu overlooks a wild river far below it. It is not easy to get to this lost city if you do not have modern transportation. Today, it takes about 4 days to hike up to the lost city. If you go, you should also climb the peak that towers over Machu Picchu. It will give you an unforgettable view. Like many lost cities, Machu Picchu was not truly lost. People who lived nearby knew about it. However, to the outside world, Machu Picchu was unknown until it was discovered in 1911. Hiram Bingham, an archaeologist and college professor, found it. However, he thought he had found a different lost city. He believed he had found a city where Incas had battled Spanish. Chapter 4. Astounding Angkor. According to National Geographic magazine, Angkor is the scene of one of the greatest vanishing acts of all time. Angkor was the capital of the Khmer Empire. The empire lasted from the 9th to the 15th centuries. It dominated much of Southeast Asia. Angkor, which is located in present-day Cambodia, covered about 1,000 square kilometers. As many as 750,000 people may have lived there. Angkor contains more than 1,000 temples. The most detailed and well-known of these temples is Angkor Wat. It was built for the Hindu god Vishnu in the 12th century. Its towers were built in the shape of a lotus. Angkor Wat is the world's largest religious monument. Sculptures throughout Angkor show Hindu gods and myths. They provide information about historical events too. They also provide a glimpse of daily life in Angkor. Religion influenced most aspects of daily life in Angkor. Historians know that more than 12,000 people worked at one temple. It took even more workers to build Angkor's temples. These workers weren't paid. Money was not used in Angkor. However, all these people had to eat. It took hundreds of thousands of rice farmers to feed them. The rice farmers could feed all these people because they learned how to use the monsoon floods for their benefit. Workers built a lake 8 kilometers by 2.4 kilometers long to do so. Over time, workers also built hundreds of kilometers of canals at Angkor. It probably took 200,000 workers to pile up the soil for the walls around the lake. They piled it more than 90 meters wide and 3 stories tall. When completed, the lake served both religious and farming purposes. So what happened in Angkor? Several persuasive theories exist, but the answer is unclear. Perhaps a combination of reasons led to Angkor's downfall. Invaders may have played a part. In addition, Angkor was an inland empire. It may have not succeeded because it was not on the coast. Water, and the lack of it, may have also helped bring Angkor's downfall. Angkor suffered both terrible droughts and monstrous monsoons. Over the years, Buddhism gradually became the dominant religion. This switch from Hinduism would have brought many changes with it. That also may have contributed to Angkor's downfall. Although we do know a lot about Angkor, we will probably never know the whole story. Chapter 5. Picture Perfect Petra. A famous poem described Petra this way: a rose-red city half as old as time. It's a good description. Petra, which means rock in Greek, is built from red sandstone. It is extremely old, too. People settled in the area 8 or 9,000 years ago. These first settlers did not build the city of Petra, however. The Nabataeans built Petra. They were an ancient people, originally from northeastern Arabia. Not much is known about the Nabataeans' history in the area before 312 BCE. About that time, they successfully fought back some invaders. Then, their power and prosperity increased. Much of this was due to their importance in the spice trade. Over the next few centuries, the Nabataeans created most of Petra's structures. The most impressive structures were probably built a little more than 2,000 years ago. UNESCO says the city is half carved, half built. It lies in Jordan in the mountains, passages, and canyons between the Red Sea and the Dead Sea. The way into the city is through a narrow gorge called the Sikh. Cliffs rise 80 meters high on either side. More than a kilometer long, the gorge is unforgettable due to the rock's colors and shapes. Soon, however, another breathtaking sight comes into view. The first thing visitors see after the Sikh is the treasury. This giant king's tomb was carved in the first century. The Nabataeans built many structures in Petra, including 3,000 tombs, banquet halls, temples, and altars. They built a theater for 3,000 people. They also built a monastery 800 stone steps above the city. The Romans took over Petra in 106 CE. The city continued to prosper and grow. An earthquake in 363 destroyed half the city. It was hit again about 2 centuries later. The earthquakes and political changes in that area led to the end of Petra. The rest of the world learned of Petra in 1812. Johann Ludwig Burckhardt, an explorer from Switzerland, found it. He pretended to be a Muslim scholar so that he could see Petra. The beauty and mystery of Petra, as well as other famous lost cities, continue to excite the imagination of explorers and armchair travelers even today.